Hare Krishna. By the mercy of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and for the pleasure of all assembled Vaishnavas, today we are continuing reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavat Purana, Canto 5, Chapter 6, the activities of Lord Rishabhadev. You just finished Lord Rishabhadev's teachings. So in this chapter, Lord Rishabhadev tells how he left his body. He was not attached to his body even when it was being burned up in the forest fire. When the seed of fruit of activity is burned by the fire of knowledge, the spiritual properties and mystic powers are automatically manifest, yet Bhakti Yoga is not affected by these mystic powers. An ordinary yogi is captivated by mystic powers and his progress checked. Therefore, a perfect yogi does not welcome them. Because the mind is restless and underdependable, it must remain always under control. Even the mind of the advanced yogi, Saubhari Muni, created such a disturbance that he lost his yogic mystic powers. Due to a restless mind, even a very advanced yogi can fall down. So the mind is so restless that it induces even a perfect yogi to be controlled by senses. Therefore, Lord Rishabhadev, for the instruction of all yogis, showed the process of quitting the body. While traveling in South India through the provinces of Karnataka, Konkavenka and Kutaka, Lord Rishabhadev arrived in the neighborhood of Kutakachala. Suddenly there was a forest fire, and that burned the forest and Lord Rishabhadev's body to ashes. The pastimes of Lord Rishabhadev as a liberated soul were known by King of Konkavenka and Kutaka. This king was named Arhat, and he lately became captivated by the illusory energy, and in this condition he set forth the basic principles of Jainism. Lord Rishabhadev set forth the principles of religion that can free one from material bondage, and he put an end to all kinds of atheistic activities. On this earth, the place known as Bharatvarsha was a very pious land because the Supreme Lord appeared there when he wanted to incarnate. So Lord Rishabhadev neglected all the mystic powers for which the so-called yogis actually hanker. Because of the beauty of devotional service, devotees are not at all interested in so-called mystic power. The master of all yogic power, Lord Krishna, can exhibit all powers on behalf of his devotee, but devotional service is more valuable than yogic mystic powers. Devotees who are sometimes misled aspire for liberation and mystic powers. So the Supreme Lord gives these devotees whatever they desire, but they cannot attain the most important function of devotional service. Devotional service to the Lord is guaranteed for those who do not desire liberation and mystic power. Next chapter? Seventh? Yeah? Oh. Yesterday I asked temple president Nityananda Prabhu, he sent me sixth chapter, so. Okay? But the first three shlokas have no purport. Okay, so I'll read the activities of Bharat Maharaj. Okay?
Jayaradha Mandava Kunja Bihari Jaradamandava Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Jamunutira Vanachari Munatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Jamunatira Vanachari Jamunatira Vanachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol.
Shishi Kishore Kishore Ki Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Ki Shishi Gaur Nitai Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Jai Shri Shri Guru Gauranga, Jai Shri Shri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The activities of King Bharat from 5th Canto, Chapter 7, starting from the text 1. So, shall we chant all together? Yes? It's not on the board. It's not on the board, but it's pads. Shri Shuka Vacha. Bharatastu Maha Bhagavato Yada. Bhagavata Nitala Paripalanaya. Sanchintitastad Anushasana Para. Panchajanim Vishvarupa Duhitaram Upahemi. Bharatastu Maha Bhagavato Yada. Bhagavata Vanitala Paripalanaya. Sanchinnitastadanushasana para. Panchajanim Vishvarupa Duhitaram Upaheme. Please. Yes, please. Matajis, please. Shri Shuka Vacha, Shukadeva Goswami said, Bharata, Maharaja Bharata, to, but, Mahabhagavata, and Mahabhagavata, most exalted devotee of the Lord, Yada, when, Bhagavata, by the order of his father, Lord Rishabhadeva. Avanitala, the surface of the globe. Paripalanaya, for ruling over. Sanchintitata, made up his mind. Tat anushasana paraha, engaged in governing the globe. Panchajanim, Panchajani, Vishvarupa Duhitaram, the daughter of Vishvarupa. Upaheme, married. Translation of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Shukadev Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, saying that, my dear king, Bharat Maharaj was the topmost devotee, following the orders of his father, who had already decided to install him on the throne. He began to rule the earth accordingly. When Bharat Maharaj ruled the entire globe, he followed the orders of his father and married Panchajani, the daughter of Vishvarupa. Shishukuvacha Bharatastu Mahabhagavatu Yada Bhagavata Vanitala Paripalanaya Sanchititas Tadanu Shasana Parapanchajanim Vishvarupa Duhitaram Upayame. Shukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, saying that, my dear king, Bharat Maharaj was the topmost devotee, following the orders of his father, who had already decided to install him on the throne, and he began to rule the earth accordingly. When Bharat Maharaj ruled the entire globe, he followed the orders of his father and married Panchajani, the daughter of Vishvarup. So, if you don't mind, there is no purport on this text, so I would read the introduction to the chapter. Okay? In this chapter, the activities of King Bharat Maharaj, the emperor of the whole world, are described. Bharat Maharaj performed various ritualistic ceremonies, Vedic yagyas, and satisfied the Supreme Lord by his different modes of worship. In due course of time, he left home and resided in Haridwar and passed his days in devotional activities. Being ordered by his father, Lord Rishabhadev, Bharat Maharaj married Panchajani, the daughter of Vishvarupa. After this, he ruled the whole world peacefully. Formerly, this planet was known as Ajanabha, and after the reign of Bharat Maharaj, it became known as Bharatvarsha. Bharat Maharaj begot 5 sons in the womb of Panchajani, and he named the sons Sumati, Rashtrabdhrita, Siddharshana, Avarana, and Dhumraketu. Bharat Maharaj was very rigid in executing religious principles and following in the footsteps of his father. He therefore ruled the citizens very successfully. Because he performed various yagyas to satisfy the Supreme Lord, he was personally also very satisfied. Being of undisturbed mind, He increased his devotional service unto Lord Vasudeva, and Bharat Maharaj was competent in understanding the principles of saintly persons like Narada, and he followed in the footsteps of the sages. He also kept Lord Vasudeva constantly within his heart, and after finishing his kingly duties, he divided his kingdom among five sons, and he then left home and went to the place of Pulaha, known as Pulaha Ashram. There he ate forest vegetables and fruits and worshipped Lord Vasudeva with everything available. Thus he increased his devotion to Vasudeva, and he automatically began to realize further his transcendental, blissful life. Due to his highly advanced spiritual position, there were sometimes visible in his body the Ashtasattvika transformations, such as ecstatic crying, bodily trembling, which are symptoms of love of Godhead. It is understood that Bharat Maharaj worshipped the Supreme Lord with the mantras mentioned in the Rig Veda, generally known as Gayatri Mantra, which aim at the Supreme Narayan situated within the sun. Dear Vaishnavas, by the mercy of Vaishnavas, this material world can function and exist. It's only because Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Himself, is present in this world through His devotees. Only because of that, this world can somehow exist. Lord Rishabhdev, giving his instructions to his sons, he was speaking. He was giving an evolutionary retrospect of living entities, explaining that which living entities are on the lowest level of development, higher, higher, higher. And he mentions that above all living entities, the topmost, the best, are the brahmanas. And he was saying that Brahmana is even higher than me because they are so dear to me. There is no one all over the three worlds who so seriously studies the Vedas. Just Brahmanas, so seriously. There are maybe people who are reading Shastra, having Shastric books. But on the daily basis, as their duty, they study Shastra, and they implement this Shastra into their lives. So they are living, representative, living Vedas, living Shastra, living scriptures. So that's why the Supreme Personality of Godhead is being represented in this material world by saintly sadhus, Vaishnava brahmanas, who, by whose mercy this world can exist at all. I think in some of Srila Bhaktivinoda's letters there is also mentioned this, that only by the mercy of Vaishnavas this world can exist, otherwise it would collapse right away. So the instructions and the example of Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Lord Rishabhdev, is very, very, very instructive to all the living entities in this world. Actually, I was a little bit bewildered yesterday. I asked Nityanand Pran Prabhu which shloka I have to read tomorrow, and I got the message that it is the sixth chapter, shloka number one, Activities of Bharat Maharaj. So I understood that I can read or sixth chapter or Activities of Bharat Maharaj, which is 7th chapter. It's okay, I just had opportunity to read more of the chapters. So in the 5th chapter, there is very famous, well-known shloka speaking about the qualification of living entity, or in particular about the human being. Gurur na sasyat svajano na sasyat, pitana sasyaj jananina sasyat, devam na tatsyan na patishcha sasyan, na mochayat ya samupeta mrityum. The shloka was spoken by Rishabhadev himself, which says that a person, if he cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth of death, samsara, should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or worshipable demigod. So it's a responsibility, it's a huge responsibility of any living entity who takes birth in this world to develop Krishna consciousness. And you may become father, and you may become husband, and you may become mother, or you may not become, even if you are not a spiritual master, if you are not a husband, if you are not a father, if you are not a mother, if, it doesn't mean that you can remain a wild, uncivilized human being. It's a duty of every living entity. And even if you are not, still, by developing Krishna consciousness, by elevating your consciousness to the Krishna consciousness, you serve as object of benefit for all the world. Because your presence in this world is blessing. So, are you in some social position? Are you in the position of leader? Or are you not in any position? Still, it's a duty. It's a duty of a living entity. Jivera svarupahoi krishnera nityadas. As long as you are jiva. So as long as you are living entity, your primal duty is to sacrifice your living entity, your living energy, your life force, for the sacrifice to please the Lord. And therefore, Lord Rishabhadev glorifies the Brahmanas so much, saying that they devote their life for my pleasure. And this is the right goal of life. Unfortunately, this is what is obvious to any devotee, and this is what should be the rule, obvious rule to all the humanity. In Kali Yuga, it is not the case. It is not the case. And when I have opportunity to give classes, public classes for the general populace, I can see that people are completely oblivious of the goal of their lives. They don't know what to strive for, what to aim for. They became slaves of some advertisement or inherited some false goals from whatever, parents, society. And they are completely bewildered. But as soon as you mention that the primal duty is to develop your higher consciousness, people react very positively. Very positively. They need to be reminded. They need to be inspired. And most of them, kind of, they are ready to follow to some extent. At least in the beginning. But this is just the beginning. So the duty of a devotee is not only to be happy. Because we just read how Lord Bharat Maharaj even expressed his symptoms of bhav, yeah, and prema. He was trembling, crying, laughing. Recently, one devotee, a beginning devotee, neophyte devotee, although he's an adult person, in Moscow. Very intelligent man. Having good job, family, normal grihastha. But he, because Moscow is such a huge city, it's like a country, it's, I don't know, 10, 15 million people. So, and he is so busy, he can't really regularly go to the temple. And the situation, of course, of the temple in Moscow is quite unstable. So he tries to practice Krishna consciousness at home. He writes to me sometimes when I'm in Moscow, we meet and speak. And just recently he shared with me some of his experiences. He wrote to me, "You know, I've got a trouble." I said, "What is your trouble, Prabhu?" His name is Maxim. And he says, "Well, after I chant my japa, I start laughing and I feel so confused. I am afraid what my family will think about me. And sometimes I can't control that." And he says, "What shall I do? Is it some wrong thing, bad thing? I'm getting crazy or what?" And he's just a beginner, but very sincere devotee. So I said, "Don't worry, it's okay. But if you can, somehow you chant privately so that your family would not notice or whatever." So he said, "Yes, I have tried. I should try that." Because I told him, you know, I had same experience back into 1980s when I was starting chanting my japa. But those years, we didn't have temples. In Soviet times, communist times, we didn't have temples, we didn't have books, we didn't have association, we didn't have namahatas, we didn't have kirtan, we didn't have deities, we didn't have spiritual masters. No, we didn't have nothing. Just holy name and japa. So that's why we were investing all our whatever, faith, inspiration, heart, energy, into the beads, into the chanting of the japa. So for us, at those years, japa was like and deity, and guru, and kirtan, and association, sangha, everything. Japa personified everything because there was nothing else. Nothing else. Plus. Recently in one namahata, I was telling that story of mine, and they said, "I can't understand." One person, he said, "I can't understand how you could chant your japa for a few years not knowing what you are chanting." And this was the case. I didn't know what is Krishna. I had no idea that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. No idea, not a green idea I had that Krishna is God. No, Ram, Hari, have no concept. What is at all? What is it that these are holy names? Had no idea. Because on the street I was giving a paper written Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the devotee said, "Here are the beads, here is this mantra. Please chant for 2 hours a day." I said, "Oops, 2 hours a day? Is it not too long?" No, you try. I said, "I'm trying to meditate by practicing my yoga, hatha yoga, for a few minutes. I can't catch my mind." And you say, "For 2 hours." Devotee said, "Okay, try." And for a few years, until I got Bhagavad Gita and read Srila Prabhupada's Gita, what's all about, we had no concept of what's that. But still, even not knowing that, there was some taste. Otherwise, how could you continue? How could you continue? There was some taste. Something was there. You were becoming peaceful, more confident, and feeling the protection of the Lord through His holy name. So, it's just a... For me, it's a living proof that holy name in this world is everything, and it's enough. Even if there is nothing, if we end up, I end up, we end up in the situation where there is nothing, no temples, no association, nothing. But if there is holy name, it fills all the gap of everything what is missing or lacking. But now we are in the most beneficial situation. And we are sitting in the temple, fantastic temple, big temple. Devotees in Russia are only dreaming. Maybe they, in their wildest dreams, they can dream about this such type of temple. Yeah? Deities. Oof. So we shouldn't take it for granted, having fantastic facilities for spiritual practice and advancement. So we have to be serious and follow the instructions which were given, and by Lord Rishabhadev, where in his 13th shloka text of 5th chapter, he practically gives all the Bhagavad Gita. In one shloka, by giving instructions to his sons, he covered practically the most significant points of Bhagavad Gita. So it is a great responsibility of all of us. Of all of us. To cooperate nicely. Preach nicely. Because we don't practice Krishna consciousness only for our own benefit. If we're serious, then we may laugh, we may cry, we may dance. You know, it's the natural symptom. It's not something reserved for the Shaktivisha avatars. No. These ecstatic symptoms are accessible to any devotee who is seriously, sincerely, pure-heartedly, wholeheartedly, is practicing Krishna consciousness. So this eagerness is very important quality. Eagerness, hunger. Hunger for the food, spiritual food for my heart, for my soul. There was one story this year I heard in Mayapur during the... It's a wonderful time, Gaur Purnim time in Mayapur, where so many advanced sannyasis, gurus, Vaishnavas come. And they, by giving classes, they share their realizations. So one Maharaj, he told one story how one chicken, she found one egg lying. And she thought, okay, anyway, I have my eggs, so I'll take that one and in due course, I'll have one more, what you call, chicklet? Yeah? Small. Chick? One chick more. So after, in due course, all those eggs, what you say, pecked out, hatched, yeah? Hatched, and those chicks were started growing up. And one chick, he was always very sober. He was always approaching his brothers and sisters and asking, my dear brothers and sisters, when or when this most happy day will come? When or when will we have this realization? When or when will we go? And he was speaking quite abstract concepts, but he knew what he wanted. And his friends, brothers, sisters, they said, what are you missing? What's lacking? What, you don't have what to peck? There is grain, there is food. Be happy. What's wrong with you? What are you missing? It's there. If you don't understand, if you want something more, go to your mother and ask. So this chick, he went to chicken mother and he started asking, mother, tell me one thing. Tell me one thing. Why for? We do have wings. When, oh when, will we fly at last? And the mother said, my dear chicklet, calm down, all is okay. I'll tell you one truth, absolute truth. The truth is that chickens don't fly. So be peaceful, have your breakfast, lunch, round the clock, and be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Yeah. But this boy, this small chicken, he was restless. He couldn't live with the thought, who at the end will give me the answer? Why the hell we have the wings? Why we have the wings and we don't fly? Something is not okay here. Because he was seeing, oh, there are some flying birds around. Why we don't fly? When we fly? And the mother just disappointed him, saying, don't worry. Be happy. Chickens don't fly. So he was always on his own. And once, one eagle, he saw this chicken and he landed nearby and he said, I noticed you. You are always on your own. What's wrong with you? Why are you not happy? Why are you depressed? And this chick, he said, I can't solve my life's problem. Nobody can explain why we do have wings, but we don't fly. Please explain me. And the seagull say, okay, I can teach you flying, but it's a bitter experience. And he said, when our kids grow up in the nest, and we see that they have to start learning to fly, then we use one gesture. And the gesture is fly or die. Yes? Being kicked out of the nest, and you have to. You've got the wings. Do something about them. Flap. Learn. Yes? So this Maharaj was telling the story in connection to the early days of his Krishna consciousness in the temple. He said, the very first day when I joined the temple, I was shaved, I was dressed, and go on Sankirtan. Here are the books. I don't know how to do Sankirtan. Fly or die. Go on Sankirtan, distribute, preach, whatever you know, however you know, what you know. Fly or die. So this simple, quite simple story illustrates that eagerness, you know, eagerness to fly. The living entity presumes that there is soul or something in the heart. Yeah? And most of the chicks, they were just happy with eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's it. And they were thinking, what's wrong with you? Why are you so restless? Everything is there. Just be happy. Look, there is plenty of eatable, you know, plenty of association, socializing, Facebooking, whatever, whatever. It's plenty of facilities. Enjoy. But he couldn't. Because that was the egg which the chicken found, and it was the eagle's egg. And he had in his heart deeply that we have to rise above eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, broaden our vision, go to the sky, reach for the stars, and like that. So it's in every living entity's heart, the striving for the height, striving for God, striving for transcendental, is there. So whenever you preach, you wake up this or remind them about this striving, about this eagerness, explaining them why we have the wings. So that means we have to fly. We have the soul, that means we have to reach for the Krishna. We have the soul, we have to reach. It's not like we have the soul, forget about the soul. We have the wings, forget about the flying. Just walk around the ground and pick your grains and be happy. No. So by preaching, we wake up Jeev Jago. We wake up these sleeping souls, which are actually unhappy. Doesn't matter how they look as if happy, how they say themselves being as if happy, but we know for sure, because Shastra says that this can't be happiness. This is a suffering, endless, lifetime after lifetime. So only the best candidate for becoming a devotee is the one who asks the question, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. The question, who am I? The question of transcendental nature. And this question comes only when you understand that this life is suffering. TK? Hare Krishna. Maybe you have some question. When we have to finish? At 30. So there are a few minutes maybe you have the question, Prabhu's. Or inspirational realizations. Yes, Prabhu.
If you could relate to us the development in Russia, how the ISKCON is flourishing, or, you know, I was reading they wanted to ban the Gita maybe a year or so ago, and I was just kind of curious because it seems like there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, preaching in Russia. Historically, it's amazing period in the history of the world, because most probably there is most uncertain place on the globe. You never know what will happen next. At one time, they put to court Bhagavad Gita. Can you imagine? The well-accepted, well-known, appreciated all over the world, the Holy Scripture, they put into court just to ban it. So all the world was wondering, and there some atheists were quite serious about that. And I think recently some official which was protecting in that court was released from job place or something. So strange things are happening. On the other hand, preaching is flourishing. Preaching is just... Only in Moscow, I think there are something like 80 Bhaktivrikshas or Namahatas. 80. So there are hundreds and thousands of devotees participating, practicing seriously Krishna consciousness, even without the temple. Because recently the land which was given to build the temple was taken back away again. So, and it is going on for 10 years. For 10 years, we are trying to get the land, the building, to build the temple. And it's just impossible. But despite of that, the development of Krishna consciousness in Russia is just exploding. The very popular program nowadays amongst the young people is Gaura Fest. It's Gauranga Festival. So young people rent most prominent, biggest halls in the town, all over the country. This culture of preaching for young people spread. And they arranged for some evening program, including concert, including dancing, including some lecture, including worship, including, it's a lot of things there. People there, devotees there are very creative. Even from the start, when young people start coming to the program, they've been met with, on the entrance, with garland, everyone, with petals, with warmest possible greeting. Then they've been introduced to different aspects of practice of Krishna consciousness. Like a newcomer person comes, and there are some deities in the hall in some place. And they've been introduced to the food or prasad culture. So some devotees on some corner, they have a table of dough, and they give a chance to the person, newcomer, to make a chapati himself. So he's rolling the dough, making chapati, then there is a fire, he bakes this chapati, or puri, depending on the situation. And then he's been given the piece of paper with a mantra for offering the prasad. He goes with this piece of paper with another paper plate with his just baked chapati, goes to the date and reads the mantra, offers the prasad, and then comes back to his friend or girlfriend, and they enjoy. And then they again, and it's a queue. People stand in queue so that they could bake or cook the puri chapati, offer, go enjoy, again stand to the queue, do it again, again and again. They enjoy it so much. Then the ladies who comes, also first-timers, they've been offered to dress themselves in saris. The young people who, don't know about Krishna consciousness maybe at all, nothing, just nothing. They'd been offered to, because there are quite few devotees also, ladies dressed in saris, and those ladies see, they'll look nice. I want to look nice. So they've been offered somewhere in the separate room to dress themselves in saris, and then they make photos and like that. It's like an entertaining program. And there is a kirtan, as a rule, bhajan, lecture, prasad, arati. So it's a very successful program going on, preaching for young people. And then, they said something like 80% of newcomers come back. 80%. So most of the young people just come back. And then they bring their friends and they say, this is so nice. No alcohol, no smoking, no nonsense. Everything is just pure and clean and exalted. So different such type of programs are going on. Bhakti Vriksha program is very successful because it's very personal. And people are, they're very personal. They come together, they discuss the subject, spiritual subjects of Gita amongst themselves, and they get inspired. So the festivals also, maybe you heard, maybe not, in Ukraine last year in September, the festival was 7,000 devotees. 7,000 devotees festival. It's bigger than in India. In Russia also, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 devotees came. In Lithuania, we do summer festival. Also, Baltic region is just very small. Three countries is like maybe 5 million people. All three countries is like half of Moscow. Still, we had festival of 1,500 devotees. So it's also very successful. So, seems like golden age is advancing. And more people feel this striving for some spirituality, some higher purpose of life. And only because devotees facilitate them in different ways, introducing prasad culture, introducing philosophical culture, knowledge, culture of knowledge, introducing the healthy way of living, yes, culture of health. Through different aspects of life, people being attracted. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, can you maybe elaborate a little bit on the importance of preaching in the movement? Because I've noticed in my own sadhana a complacency, come upon myself with my practice, and it kind of felt like I was actually becoming a little bit like, with that complacency, becoming a little bit degraded, feeling like, oh, well, I've advanced enough already, and kind of, you know, becoming stagnant in my practice and actually becoming a little bit degraded a little bit. So can you maybe give me and the other aspiring devotees a little bit of inspiration as far as the preaching movement is concerned?
I think it's all about the taste. Yes? If we are happy with tasting some raw rice, it's okay. But if we would like to have rasgul, halava, then we strive for that. So inspiration we have to seek in words of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. In 1867, I think, shloka, he says that liberation is guaranteed for those who share this knowledge with others. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yaradehi Tarikaha Krishna Padesh. Whomever you meet, share, tell him. Tell him about Krishna. And this is not like an order of a duty which we have to perform. Behind that, there is so much mercy and so much ruchi, so much taste. You try to tell someone about Krishna. You try to inspire him, and you'll see how much inspiration you'll get in your heart. You just try. Overcome your ego, overcome your inertness, overcome whatever, self-confidence. Overcome it by stepping forward a little bit, because Krishna says, you do one step towards me, I'll step 100 steps towards you. And you can feel, you try to preach, you try to tell a person something, share your realizations of what you've read today, yesterday, share what you remember from Bhagavad Gita, share from your devotional practice, and you will see how people will respond. If you are sincere, Krishna will send you sincere people. If your motive is pure, pure-hearted people will come. And this is, then you become addicted. Then you will not be able to shut up. Yes. You will speak and you will look for opportunities, whom to tell, whom to speak, whom to tell. Because this happiness in the heart, it doesn't fit there. It just breaks out. You want to share. So like this devotee in Moscow, an ordinary man, having family, can't really visit the temple. Chants japa at home before he goes to job. And because he needs to go to job early, he should wake up earlier just to make his rounds on time. And then he writes to me, oh, I'm afraid. I'm laughing, I'm becoming blissful, maybe something wrong, I don't know what's next, maybe I'll jump out of the window. So I tell you, it's okay, just don't make a show of that. Keep for yourself, and it's natural course of happiness. So it's there. It's all reserved for you as well. Just take your spoon and taste it. It's there. Don't become happy about what we have. Strive for more.
Hare Krishna. You were explaining that this question, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, this only comes up when we realize that life is suffering.
Yeah. It's a preliminary condition or stage.
Yeah. Sometimes when I go out on books and I'm talking to people, like you were saying, we should know that they're unhappy, even if they, no matter how they appear, we should just know that they're unhappy.
Yes.
I think that's like a weak area for me. Sometimes if they seem happy, then I think, oh, maybe they are happy. You know, but the Shastra says, how can you be happy in a material situation? So how to break this doubt, my own, I guess, inability to accept Shastra's version.
Srila Prabhupada also said that if you are sannyasi and you visit a grihastha, house, home, well set up, and you think, wow, how nice they are living, then you are finished. It's over. Yeah? Because it's just superficial. It's temporary and superficial. You have to deeply understand that it's not the happiness. This type of material happiness is just distasteful. It's just gross. And it's distasteful. And in the family, if the family doesn't have a common object, God, if the family doesn't have a common object for worship, for serving, for meditation, for contemplation, deities, then it's also a very troublesome family. They will fight for the domination. They will fight for the whatever, for the sense gratification. And they will just, it will be miserable. Doesn't matter that you may have a golden house for 1 year or few years on the cliff of the ocean. Doesn't matter. It's so temporary. So I think it comes also by realization. The intelligent person learns the lessons by looking at the outer world. You don't need to go through all the suffering. You can just look deeper into the life of people and you will see. They may seem happy. Okay, look at that same person next moment, after a month, after a day, in the evening, and you will see that he's not. So don't call for trouble. Don't think that with some people it's okay. Even if they are not God conscious, they may live happily. No, they're just exploiting the crunches of their good karma. They're just exploiting the remnants of their good karma. And it's the question of time when it's finished. So he may smile thinking, I have money in my pocket, I have insurance, I have this, I have that, I have this, I have that. But the answer is meantime. You have all this meantime. And you don't know for how long you expect it having for long. But you don't know. So it's just meantime. Just now you have a few dollars. Just now you have health, just now you have whatever. House, just now. And what will happen next when you lose everything? It's just a question of health. And it's over. Even the money will not make you happy if you don't have health. Even the house, family, husband, wife, children will not make you smile if you have cancer, if you are sick. That's it. So it's very chanchala, unstable. So certain things we understand through Shastra, certain things we understand by contemplating the outer world, and then it comes realizations. Of course, when we are young, energetic, healthy, we think, maybe there is a hope in this world. But elder you become, less hopes there are. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your kindness, for your attention. And I pray Kishore, Kishore, Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra, Gauranitai, that they would let me meet you again and again and again, so that I could have a chance to serve you some way or the other. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Bharat Maharaj ki. Sama Veda Bhaktavrinda ki. Gaur Premanandi.